initiate. It's on.
Back in the country.
Everyone rise for the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You would please call the roll.
Ms. Cluter? Mr. Barron?
Here.
Mrs. Perry?
Here.
Mr. Klein?
Here.
Mr. Braverman?
Here.
Mr. Hirsch?
Here.
Mr. Duber?
I am here. Can I have a motion to excuse Councilwoman Frances Cluter from the February 8th, 2017 meeting?
So moved.
Thank you.
I second.
Thank you, Mr. Barron. If you'd please call a roll on that.
Barron?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes.
Klein?
Yes.
Braverman?
Yes.
Hirsch?
Yes.
Duber?
Yes.
Hello, Evan. Hello, John. How
are you?
Great.
And can I have a motion to confirm the appointment of Brent Silver as a member of the Finance Committee?
So moved.
Thank you. Is there a second? Okay. Ms. Perry?
He seems ultimately qualified in talking with him. He's not able to be here tonight.
Cover the surety bonds.
The mayor can swear him in at before the next, because I will be absent.
PNC's investment portfolio.
The high level.
Dollars.
And, you know, I know that both Evan and I know him on a personal level, and he's a good person. And I think that the village is lucky to have him on the Finance Committee. Look at you, Ms. Recruiter. If you'd please. The rest of the role.
Barron?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes.
Klein?
Yes.
Braverman?
Yes.
Yes.
Duber?
Yes. And can I have a motion to approve the special meeting minutes of February 1st, 2017? Thank you, Ms. Perry.
Second.
Who's that? Oh, Mr. Klein. Thank you. Is there any comments relative to that?
Barron? Perry?
Yes.
Klein?
Yes.
Braverman?
Yes.
Hirsch?
Yes.
Duber?
Yes. And can I have a motion to approve the treasurer's report for fiscal year end for 2016? Thank you, Mr. Perry. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Hello. If you would please do a little.
All right. Numbers for the year, the final numbers came out very good. They pretty much maintain where we were all year long. Look at the on the front page, the top line shows that best. The general fund ending balance is about double what it was at the beginning of the year. Main part of that increase is the $500,000 that we took in from Pinecrest for the development fee. But even if you, and that's a one-time event, but even if you net that out, we still end up the year with a surplus of about $130,000. Very good. Mm-hmm. Go to the revenue page for the general fund. You see all the major items that we plugged in there all came in at or even a little bit above budget or original projection, including the real property tax, the income tax, hotel admissions tax is about 10% above budget. But the only... And you can see also that in terms of percentage collection, we ended up in the bottom right corner at about 99% of our original budget. And the only reason we weren't above 100% is if you look at the building permits and fees, that's all dependent on Pinecrest. We had budgeted for a pretty high number, and mainly due to timing issues. They started late with a lot of things. We didn't collect as much as we thought, but we'll be getting that in this year.
Does that have something to do with that long delay?
Yes, mm-hmm. Okay. Right. So we projected more on a full year of collecting, and they didn't really begin payments until mid-year.
How many months were they stopped for?
Five?
Last year.
5 months of this year?
Yeah.
No, 16.
Yeah, that's what I meant, this past, yes, of the year of this. So they were...
They pulled as many permits last year as okay. the budget.
Yeah, so I guess the months that they were...
They didn't get started with anything till around May?
The percentage of months that they were shut down kind of correlates to the percentage of...
Right.
The permit they didn't pull last year.
Yeah.
I plugged in a number of about 425,000 expected for the year, and clearly they didn't start till mid-year, so there was no way we were going to reach that number. On the expenditure side,
the good news on that is that this year you'll see a bonus because they'll be scrambling to get more permits to meet their opening.
The amount they didn't collect last year, or just what was left?
No, we took that into account when we talked to Ron to get that number. That took into account.
Budgeted it again.
It out.
Rebudgeted, right. On the spending side, with the general fund, the news is good. We ended up at, again, below budget, about 2%. One thing I do need to point out, this is the... I get to confuse you a bit. If you'll remember, the state auditor makes us change the budget column, the one that we've maintained at the same amount for 11 months. If you look at the very left, the left-hand column, we changed that quite a bit. We needed to do that to... with the appropriations at year end. And so that throws our whole, the usefulness of this document goes out for the month of December. Probably the best thing, if you care to get into the detail, the thing to do would be go to the November report, take those budget items in that column and compare them with the actual.
Start with the budget instead of our operating numbers?
Start with the original budget. Yeah. Compare that to the activity column, column three. You want to look at it all the way through. I kind of shortcutted it for you. Just the total without going department by department. The original budget was about $5,893,000, and our final spending total was $5,755,000. So we ended up at about 98% of budget. We're under budget in spending, so that's a good thing. Again, that's a requirement we can't do anything about. Questions?
Sorry, I'm just looking at one more thing. Okay. All right. If you would please call a roll.
Barron?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes.
Klein?
Yes.
Braverman?
Yes.
Hurst?
Yes.
Duber?
Yes. Can I have a motion to approve the tax administrator's report of January 31st, 2017?
So move.
Did you say it, Ms. Perry? Ms. Perry. Second, Mr. Klein?
Second.
Okay, thanks.
I'll go for that.
All right, if you'd please.
This is for the month of January. So you can see the month and the year-to-date are the same. It was a very good month collection-wise, especially compared to last year. We took in about $150,000 more in January than we did a year ago. And it's also good in comparison to last month, December. We're about $70,000 ahead of December. But, the RITA collections have really been swinging wildly from month to month, so hard to tell. I wouldn't put a lot of stock in being up $150,000. The good news is, too, if you look at the bottom line, we are about $91,000 above budget. That's a little more reliable number. And, Pinecrest also. We took in about $12,000 in January. So, overall for the project, we took in about $58,000 last year for Pinecrest. So adding this $12,000, we're at about $70,000 total now for Pinecrest alone. $70,000 total. $58,000 last year, $12,000 this month.
Is that our highest month so far?
I think we had one month it was like $15,000, $16,000. But this is a high month, though, yes.
Is there any other questions or comments on the tax administrator's report? If not, if you'd please call roll.
Barron?
Thank you.
Yes.
Perry?
Yes.
Klein?
Yes.
Braverman?
Yes.
Hurst?
Yes.
Huber?
Yes. And can I have a motion to approve the purchase and changeover of six new police cars to 2017 Ford Explorer Interceptors and 4 2017 Dodge Chargers through Lebanon Ford Commercial and Grief Chrysler Dodge. Jeep for a total amount not to exceed $149,816, and the changeover not to exceed $30,000.
So moved.
Thank you, Mr. Klein. Is there a second? Thank you, Mr. Perry. Chief, anything that you... Yeah, I think we kind of talked about it last year about...
Ride-alongs?
This is a motion to buy them outright, not finance them.
And we kind of went through that last week, the reason why. Yeah. All right. Any questions for the chief?
Out in
Lebanon, Ohio.
Lebanon, so, Eddie?
Wait, I want you to know. You should see the mileage for driving them back here.
I was just curious.
You can buy them from other dealerships at that price if the dealership's willing to bring them in at that price because it's such a low price compared to what it profits off of on a regular sale. They must make it up in volume.
So we could buy them from anyone at the state price.
Only a dealership
that will honor the state price.
That would be willing to sell them at this price, yeah.
The specifications of the state bid, so it's got to be...
In terms of service, does that matter, or warranty, or any of those kinds of things?
Covered by
okay.
Any other questions? If not, if you please go roll.
Barron?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes.
Klein?
Yes.
Braverman?
Yes.
Hirsch?
Yes.
Duber?
Yes. And moving on to discussion of the bills to be paid for February 2017, the amount of $76,833.17. An additional January expenses in the amount of $59,823. Anybody have any questions regarding the bills?
Yep. It was totally rewritten. A lot of work was done.
Who did it?
By us.
No. No. No.
$8,500 for employment manual.
Half prices from the time that we put into it, just so you're aware.
Thank you.
Was there a write down for the half price?
No. Yeah.
Really?
We bid it as a flat fee. And
oh. Yeah.
Lease negotiations went pretty easy.
Not that much.
See, Bob, what's the dump fee on the playground? What's that for? What were you doing?
All the base that was mixed in with the material stolen and the fabric and everything that we could separate along with the hauling railroad ties and the playground equipment that's just been garbage. So it's been taken down the waste.
Anything else? All right. If you, we don't have to call roll on that. All right. Moving on to audience comments relating to agenda items only. Nobody's here. Moving on to old business of pending legislation and motions. Ordinance 2016-24 is amended. Can I have a motion to pass that? Ordinance 2016-24. Ordinance amending Chapter 1161 of the Codified Ordinances of Orange Village to change the regulation of signs within the village. This is on third reading.
So moved.
Second. Thank you, Mr. Barron. Is there any changes from last week at all? No.
No.
I think we kind of went over everything in depth last week.
No.
No.
It does
no.
not.
No. We have not included, we took it and left it purposefully out of the code at this time.
Out of the residential.
Out of the, yeah. Well, out of the code. There's no.
Even the commercial. It's
in the commercial. It's not in the code. We don't have a regulation for it.
Decided to punt it down the road a little bit for reasons of things coming, and we don't want to deal with it now. Anytime you guys want, but we didn't want to deal with it now.
it's the electronic sign dealt with now. They have to bring it in for...
No, it'd be a variance. No, it's not allowed.
And you have to bring it in for a variance because we have no electronic signs in the village.
Right.
Okay.
So it makes it more special or more particular for whoever might want such a thing.
All right. No other comments? If you call roll, please.
Barron?
Yes.
Perry? Klein?
Yes.
Braverman?
Yes.
Hurst?
Yes.
Duber?
Yes. And can I have a motion to pass ordinance 2017-3 and ordinance amending section 1173.02b2 of the codified ordinances to provide that microwave ovens shall be permitted in hotels and motels in the planned mixed-use development district. This is on for a third reading. Motion, anyone?
Motion.
Thank you, Mr. Barron. Is there a second?
Second.
Oh. Thank you, Ms. Perry. We've gone over this at length as well already. Any other comments? All right, if not, if you'd call roll, please.
Barron?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes.
Klein?
Yes.
Braverman?
Yes.
Hurst?
Yes.
Duber?
Yes. And moving on to ordinance 2017-5, an ordinance authorizing the vacation dedication for a portion of Orange Place and parcels D and blocks A, B, and C to create a new alignment for Orange Place. This is on for second reading.
This was referred to Planning Commission and reviewed at last night's Planning Commission meeting and approved or recommended for approval. Basically, what this allows the development to better align Orange Place with the Pinecrest intersection to accommodate better stacking into the intersection at Harvard. So it was reviewed and recommended for approval, and it's been reviewed by our village engineer as well.
Paul, Bob, yes, last comments?
I'll make a motion to suspend the rules.
All right.
There's a second to suspend the rules? All right. If you'd please call roll on suspending the rules.
Barron?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes.
Klein?
Yes.
Yes.
Uber?
Yes. What happened to your anti-suspension mantra?
Nobody's going to pick up the land and run away with it. We'll be able to find it if we need it.
Is there a motion to pass ordinance 2017-5?
They're working. We'll have plenty of time to think this over if we need to.
Would you like to make the motion to pass it?
No.
Okay. I'll move. Ron made it.
Oh. Thank you, Mr. Barron. Thank you, Mr. Klein. If you'd please call roll.
Barron?
Yes.
Perry? Klein?
Yes.
Braverman?
Yes.
Hirsch?
Yes.
Duber?
Yes. Moving on to new business, ordinance 2017-6, an ordinance providing a fee for connecting directly or indirectly with a water main located in Hidden Valley Drive right-of-way, providing a penalty for violating this ordinance and declaring an emergency. This is on for first reading. Mayor, do you want to?
Yeah, I did give a little explanation last week, but again, last few years to reach within 2,000 feet of every home in the village. We have made it available for those homes that are fronting the water main to tap in at their pro rata cost of the project. This one, we did make a slight adjustment for the two large parcels that face Brainerd and are required to pay into the Brainerd Road tap-in, but they have very large side yards on Hidden Valley, which really made the price of getting to these 10 homes pretty unreasonably high. So we subtracted out the materials for those two parcels, and it brought the cost down for the 10 eligible to $11,262.08, which is more in line. The original one was $6,400, but the last few we've done were in the $10,000 range. I do have one person who is considering doing this, and we should be glad we spent the money, we were doing it, it's done. If we could get anyone to tap in, not only will they be happy, but it'll be good. So like the other times we've done this, passing this ordinance sets the fee, allows them to pay without interest for 90 days once the ordinance becomes effective. After that point, it's the fee plus 4% interest to the date of payment, to the point where the fee would then be doubled. You know, if the interest accumulates, if they wait 10 years, they'll never pay more than twice the tap-in fee. And it sets a penalty if anybody were to try to tap in without paying the tap-in fee. We have these in place everywhere else we have a water main.
Have we ever had an incident where someone has attempted to tap into one of our mains?
No. You don't have
pirate in?
You would have a provision.
Theft of service would probably cover it, but this is a specific.
That's why I'm asking why we need an additional language in the ordinance to address it.
Sometimes you'll have a penalty that's higher.
I can tell you that you've always had that penalty provision, so it's
additional.
So you're going to buck tradition.
It doesn't have to be in there, but
it doesn't hurt to be in there.
$100 fine.
Yeah.
You have the water police.
Good.
Another job for the Chief Castura.
Of course, those water tap-ins.
Go to Chief Zugin to watch that one.
Anything else regarding this? No? Okay. Let's move on to Resolution 2017-1, is there a motion to pass Resolution 2017-1, a resolution authorizing the mayor to enter into a memorandum of understanding with the Cuyahoga Soil and Water Conservation District and the Northeast Ohio Regional Sewer District? Motion, anyone? Thank you, Mr. Barron. Is there a second? Thank you, Mr. Klein. Mayor?
I can explain how this is being funded, but I'm going to defer to Mr. Zugin to explain the point of it. We have so many memorandums of understanding to help us with our stormwater management. This one is a new one. We've done the Board of Health over the years. We have the Chagrin River Watershed Partners that helps us with this program. This one is a new one for our educational component of the stormwater management that we are obligated to comply with. And this time, this will be paid for out of the fee that the Northeast Ohio Regional Sewer District collects from the properties that are in their district for stormwater management out of the 75% that goes to the sewer district, not the 25% that comes to us. And Bob can tell you what this will cover.
I thought you covered it perfectly. So just like the mayor said, this is part of our stormwater. We're mandated by Ohio EPA to have the municipal stormwater permit. There's six components to that. This MOU is going to be with Northeast Ohio Regional and Soil and Water, Cuyahoga County Soil and Water Conservation District. They will be covering MCM 1 and 2, which is public involvement and public education. And it's a way to facilitate through them to meet two of the six goals that were mandated by the Ohio EPA. Exactly like the mayor said, the fee is $5,500. It comes out of the 75% that's collected by Northeast Ohio Regional, and we're just basically the pass-through for this. They give us the money, and we put soil and water. So zero cost to the village, and they'll go ahead and facilitate all the assistance that the village would need to reaching out to the public.
They do the programming, basically.
Yep, they do, yeah. It's public involvement and public education.
Why do they need this if it comes out of their funds? Why do they need this MOU from us?
They're doing it for us.
They become our agents.
Oh, okay.
This is all part of the law director, the reinstatement of the county.
There is a burden imposed upon the village under Phase 2, EPA Phase 2 regulations, to provide these services. Provide you these services. You rely on your engineer for the inspection components of them. But they do this education component for you. And the regional sewer district has agreed that this comes out of their 75% rather than the community share 25% of those fees.
Sounds good.
Nothing, and we need it.
Right.
Something, but it's paid for by.
Yeah, it's paid for from other sources.
Any other questions on this?
Other sources. So.
That's, all right, if you'd please call roll.
I need a motion.
Make a motion, I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did. Motion was made by Barron, seconded by Mr. Klein.
Sorry, okay.
Resolution.
Barron?
Yes.
Barry?
Yes.
Klein?
Yes.
Braverman? Hurst?
Yes.
Duber?
Yes. There's no audience to advance the good of the village tonight, so they get no comments. It's committee reports and comments by council.
I just can't see him.
Thank you, Ms. Perry.
They're hiding. Cloak. They're cloaked in silence.
Mr. Barron?
No report, but I will be attending tomorrow night's NOCA annual dinner.
Who's the speaker?
I believe the speaker is Mr. Dudish.
Well, let us know how it is. Mr. Braverman.
We'll come. I have no report this evening. Thank you.
Hirsch?
Report. Thank you.
Fine.
I do have a report. Planning Commission met last evening and covered a very extensive agenda, largely addressing issues at Pinecrest. To begin with, we looked at a number of revisions to the FDP, some of which were minor planning issues in regards to building footprints and locations. A couple big changes that took place were the introduction of Building 3, which was approved, which is the parking garage, so that can move forward. One of the things I should let you know that they've been able to do is through the they've been able to reduce their parking demand in the center, at least in looking at it, so they're not going to need to build the third floor at this time for parking, or the fourth floor for parking. So that actually they're going to build the floor, but it's going to become the roof for the third floor. So that provides for the developer a little bit of a savings and allows us to have some funds to use for other things, amenities and so forth in the project.
What does that mean, that they're going to be able to handle as much traffic but without that floor?
Yeah, they've
much parking.
Parking, yeah.
Parking is, they've,
they had more spaces they needed.
And more spaces than they had, an excess of 200 and some spaces, which was essentially one floor of the garage. So
400 too many spaces, so this takes away 200 and some.
Yeah, so this takes
just of 400 spaces in their plan,
if I'm remembering correctly.
I don't think it was that much. I thought it was north of 300, and they're still going to have an excess of about 100 cars based on demand. But
do you know how did that come about that they had so many excess places in their planning? Doesn't it instill confidence in me to know that? I mean, how did that come about?
It's on the mix of how the spaces.
It's the tenant mix, the use and occupancy of the various tenancies, and how that was in reality what it is in terms of the occupancies of the spaces and the parking demands for those occupancies.
Art than a science.
Okay.
The other thing is that they introduced the some changes to Building 9, which included a footprint change. That
Building 9?
Building 9 is this one.
After Building 8, I think it is.
Next to Building 8.
And in between.
Building 9 is on the west side. Here's Building 9.
Down building.
Yeah. West Elm, yeah. The West Elm building. And they need, originally one of the tenants had a mezzanine in their building, and they decided that they wanted to have it all on one level, so they reconfigure the footprint in order to maintain the square footage for the tenant without, so it was all done within the construct of the loading area and delivery area in the back of the building really doesn't change the operating area of the shopping center at all or compromise any parking or traffic patterns at all. So that worked out pretty nicely. There were some changes to materials on Building 2, which turned out to be a much nicer detail for the building. It's a little more, changed some of the masonry on the building. They added a little more detail to the rear of all of the two office building sections and the back of the other buildings that are adjacent to the garage itself. There's one of the really great things that we were able to have and facilitate, and it necessitated a bit of a change. REI is introducing their newest prototype, will be the flagship store for their chain.
First one in the world
That they're introducing here at Pinecrest.
What did they, say that again?
What does that mean?
A new prototype.
Layout?
So instead of being the last of their previous prototype, we're the first of the new prototype.
Flagship store?
Yes. Be their flagship store. This will be the one they're going to show everybody when they are promoting their stores for other developments.
There won't be a rock climbing wall in there.
No rock climbing wall. Probably the attorneys took that out.
They're using the wall.
These stores, they update their prototypes every couple years.
Yeah.
Layouts.
I just didn't realize this was one of their flagship stores that was going in.
And see what other things. We finally resolved an issue that we had with the south side of Building 1, the Whole Foods store, to break up their facade a little bit so that it doesn't feel like a big box on that side, on the south side of the development. I met the other day with the architects and the operator for what will be Pinstripes, and they will be coming in for Planning Commission approval on their FDP site in March, and their building is really fits in really well. It really works out very nicely with the rest of the development. And I think what else was on the discussion? I think that pretty much it. Yeah. Was there anything else that you
There will be some press releases coming out from
for new tenants
next week or 10 days, so I will not spoil their press release, but if you want to see me after the meeting, I'll tell you what's going to be in the press release. I won't announce it now. They're very encouraged, very pleased. Other financing should be closed by the end of February. I've had some conversations with Matt Stasinski about it, who is still following it. The petitions for the the recreational trails. I wonder if they're going to be using that terminology in the petition. Should I let President know? Should be, they're putting the final touches on it. I mean, it was just about ready. Or do you want to? Contact Price Finley tomorrow? Okay.
Wouldn't that be appropriate for Paul to contact? But Paul's away.
That Paul knows the why.
Yeah. Oh.
One extra layer of explanation.
Oh. Okay.
Who him
doesn't matter.
Okay. He's.
I'll call Price if you want me to.
I just think from the lawyer is better.
Yeah. Okay.
Steve can do it.
They're very encouraged, and the office space is starting to get play.
They do have some LOIs out for office space, so that's positive.
They're very excited. I mean, it's great.
It's coming together, and they've got some really great tenants lined up that haven't been yet announced.
They are definitely going to reach their 35%.
Yeah. They're going to push the envelope on the 35%.
Is under contract right now, do we know?
Well, we didn't ask last night, but
we did. We asked them to give us the... 65-35. But that'll give us the total of what's there.
Yeah. He said he'd send us that sheet.
Right.
Prior to last night's discussion, I know 60% of the retail space had been under contract with LOIs for another 10%. Based on last night's conversation, they are easily, in excess of 75. I mean, I'm just guessing. I'm putting it on my hat. But they just announced a lot more square footage than the 60% would have represented.
Okay. Anything else?
And I, too, will be attending the NOCA dinner tomorrow night.
embassy, you know, the embassy suites.
And that's all I have to say.
Thank you. Mayor, comments?
You will be seeing legislation to remove the ordinance that's on our books that requires us to purchase surety bonds for the people that for some of the people that handle money, the assistant treasurer, the police clerk, people, I can't remember all the positions, but Steve can look it up. The reason we are requesting you to eliminate that requirement is we have a new insurance provider, and our new policy covers that, includes the bonding for the people that handle cash, so we shouldn't pay a duplicate fee because the ordinance tells us to get it when we already got it.
Let me just ask, should we just changing the ordinance so that maybe sometime we'll have an insurance provider that doesn't include that?
Oh, the insurance market has changed. And it used to be that you have surety bonds for faithful performance bonds for the people who handle the money, treasurer, tax administrator, police secretary, and building department secretary. The market has changed, and now people are moving towards insurance products rather than a bond. The amount is never enough for a $25,000 bond isn't going to make you whole. And all it does is puts, for example, the treasurer at risk. He's responsible for all the funds. Dave knows this. He's responsible for all the funds. If one of the underlings was responsible, his bond would get hit, even though he's a part-time employee. So this old system doesn't fit with the way we do business these days. He's a part-time employee. We have controls in place that are used. And we'd want, if there were a problem, we would want sufficient coverage so that the village would be made whole from the event.
$25,000 in cash.
Well, that's true.
This is really an E&O kind of thing?
It is.
E&O policy and stuff?
Well, it is employee theft coverage. You already have public liability coverage for E&O.
What's our face amount on this policy?
We can get that answer, but look it up in the policy. I don't know what it is either.
There, theoretically, there could be a theft that occurs on a wire. You want to cover that contingency as well, which this will do. It's a change to the insurance market that has come about because of.
All I understood was that whatever it was that ordinance was requiring us to do is that we're taking care of it in our general.
Exactly right. Exactly correct.
You know, you're saying you don't foresee it ever going back to the old way.
No, council by authority had. Council by charter has authority to set bonds. You don't have to set a bond. If you eliminate the bond and replace it with insurance product that's available now, you will be protecting the village at a lower cost. I think the bonds are fairly pricey. And the bonds don't give you very much coverage.
I'm very proud to pass out these annual reports for the Orange Village Fire Department and the Orange Village Service Department. I think once you've had a chance to review them, you too will be reminded of the volumes of work that they do for us every year and what a great job they do.
Thank you.
So there's a copy for each of you. The police department does a great job too. They just don't give us a glossy annual report like this. Sure, if you want to know how many speeding tickets that they've given, he'll be happy to tell us.
Do you see the cocktail napkin? No.
I was surprised to learn that Judd does not have a key fob for the building. Are there any other council people that never got their key fobs? You got one, Evan?
I have one. Yeah.
The little gray thing?
Temporary help.
Yeah, this little
thing?
Yeah.
He wanted to see if you'd stick.
We have is, I mean, I don't know about them, but some of us have old, you know, the cards are on our ID card is dated through last year.
I know. I
you're the only person who still owns that ID card.
Oh, we have a key card anymore?
I
used not a key card, the ID card.
Oh, I know, the ID card. I don't know what you'd ever use it for.
I mean, I
don't know if it's worth the 30 cents to print new ones, unless...
I rarely flash it, but I mean, it's just...
Whoa.
Mary Catherine, would you please make yourself a note to let Nick know that Judd never got a fob?
Okay.
And that Herb needs a new ID.
Everyone else has one? Okay. I just want to end my comments by turning the floor over to Chief Kostura to share with you, if we didn't already, a very interesting story that happened to our lieutenant a few weeks ago.
Heard about it last week?
No. See, Herb just said, did we hear about this? Both of us could not remember whether he told you or not, so...
If it was, it was an executive session.
No, this did not take place in executive.
It wasn't public.
Okay.
For somebody who may have been absent, but more importantly, a couple things. First off, I don't have the time for the report. I'm busy at work. These guys have nothing else to do, so they glossed this all up. And you'll see my report in Cleveland Magazine, and it's not going to be pretty. I want you to know that. And secondly, I'd also like to add, my secretary has been out for surgery, and Mary Catherine has done a terrific job of helping us out since she's been gone, and she's really, really, really done a nice job. And thanks, Mayor, and thanks, Mary Catherine. And you guys, of course. All right, let me read this to you. This is from the Chief of North Royalton, addressed to me. On this past Sunday, and the date is, this goes back about a month ago, we had a smash and grab at a beverage store in our city at approximately 2:40 a.m. Your officers happened to be traveling through our city after working an off-duty job and noticed a car with its lights off in the parking lot of a local store. He stated that he was aware that several businesses had been robbed in North Royalton lately and decided to take a closer look at the vehicle. While pulling into the lot to check, he observed shattered glass from the man door of the business and someone coming out and getting into the vehicle. He began to a fall of the vehicle while notifying our dispatch to contact the surrounding departments of what he was up to and what he had seen. Although he did not get a close enough look at the speeding vehicle to get a license plate, he did get a good look at the vehicle and the occupant descriptions and also observed the occupants throwing a crowbar out of the window. He kept dispatch updated with direction of travel and cross streets until MARC units were able to intercept the vehicle at an apartment complex in Broadview Heights. After a brief foot chase, all the occupants were arrested. Your officer was able to positively identify the vehicle as the one at the beverage store breaking and entering. Please convey my sincere gratitude to Lieutenant Patrick O'Callaghan for taking such an active role in helping us solve this crime. He was probably not looking to get involved in an incident in another jurisdiction on a frigid January night. He nonetheless stepped up and exhibited an admirable professionalism and commitment to duty. He's a credit to your department, and I hope that my officers exhibit the same qualities of alertness and perseverance if ever placed in a similar situation.
He was on his way home from working here at Orange.
Working where?
Here.
Oh.
He knew something wasn't wrong, and just because you're not in Orange Village, you can tell things are wrong elsewhere. Plus, they'd been having a lot of problems with B&Es, and so he helped catch three bad guys. But of course, we'll get no credit for in Cleveland Magazine.
The other thing we have... Chris alluded to the fact that we got the survey information and we did have, you know, some incidences of crime. But to our police department's credit, and what you won't read in Cleveland Magazine and you won't see it anywhere, is every single one of those crimes have been solved.
Yeah, all the bad guys have been caught. To what degree we can charge them, we know that they're the ones that did it, but they may get reduced sentences from what they initially did. We've caught those, and any of those high-profile crimes, we've gotten every person involved.
And all the stolen cars recovered, too, right?
That was, Chief, that was much more beautiful than this report.
Okay, you guys got a rebuttal?
anything else, Mayor? All right, I only have a couple comments. The first one is, I know a lot of municipalities have been passing resolutions objecting to the presidential executive order on the banning of immigrants from the seven countries. I know that we kind of brought something up previously regarding Syrian refugees, and I know that I wasn't necessarily a fan of it because it seemed very limited. I don't know if anybody has interest in doing something like this now, or it's a more, you know, in a more general means. I just thought I'd throw it on the table. I don't know if we'll be behind the eight ball anyways, because this whole thing might be resolved by the courts by the time we can do anything. So, you know, obviously, you know, on the record, Orange is a welcoming municipality, and, you know, we don't discriminate. I don't know if anybody writing, but I know some cities have, and I don't know if it's just to make a statement. Obviously, there's nothing, you know, that really has any muster for legally, but I don't know if it's anything anybody wants to do. Just thought I'd bring it up because it was brought up to me. So,
asking us, or what are you doing?
Asking because it was brought up to me to go ahead and see if it's anything that anybody wants to do.
Oh, I saw what Beechwood did, and I think the idea of being a city of welcome, I think they referred to themselves. I haven't seen their ordinance per se, but oh, you have one? Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah, I mean, Beechwood's is
more than we need.
Well, but it's inclusive of not just those seven countries, of just in general, we welcome people and we don't discriminate, which I mean, I think it's.
Well, the original resolution that I crafted was much more than just Syrian. It was everywhere. It was refugees and immigrants. It was not necessarily oriented towards any particular group or series of countries, but that we would be open and.
I think we have a very diverse population here in our village alone. And in that sense, I think it would be not a gesture. That's not the right word. I'd like a better word than that. But a community statement that would be supportive of all of our residents as well as some expanded group of people that may somehow be related to our residents, family or what have you. So I think it's worth exploring a little bit further. Anyone else does. That's my thoughts. Of course, right now I'm battling an insatiable desire to shop at Nordstrom's, but that's another problem.
Another
insatiable desire?
It just came up lately. That's all.
Ms. Perry?
My initial thoughts on this here to help, you know, and I, you know, personally, I never thought like it was a great area.
So why don't we, I know Ms. Cleeter's not here, but just to see if it's something that we even want to move forward with, maybe a little straw poll of hands up. Does anybody want to go, if you want to go forward and do some type of resolution, maybe throw your hand up.
Worded correctly.
Yeah.
If it says we continue to welcome.
Well, I mean, of course. I mean, it's. Yeah,
a wordsmithing is.
We do. We craft it how people want, but.
I'm sure that.
Frances told me whenever her dog is sick, I have her proxy.
So that's three people.
She's not here.
Maybe I'll speak with Ms. Cleeter and kind of get an idea from her.
Well, I suppose you could probably start with the original resolution that we crafted and revisit it and look at, because I know it was particularly focused on the motion that was created by the state legislature and the governor about restricting the placement of immigrants in Ohio. And we reacted to that in particular. So same time, it referred to the importance of welcoming and being open to those folks that need to be accommodated.
But I don't want to go as far as San Francisco went, which is to say that
free college?
They're giving free college to everybody who lives inside the community. I don't think we can handle that.
Well, let me talk to Ms. Cluder, and it's something that we can kind of discuss a little more formally maybe next meeting.
We'll see what happens in the interim. It may be moot by then.
I think it might be moot one way or the other by then, either way. The other thing is just kind of administratively, we changed our salaries a couple years ago to reflect the changes in PERS for council, so that we bumped them up because we were going to not get we weren't at the minimum threshold for service requirements, service credits. So they are going up again. Right now we're at, I think, 700 for council, 800 for council president. They are going up again 2017. It's going up, well, now, I guess. It's at 630 a month, and next year it's going to be at 660 a month, so it's going up 5% each year. And just an FYI, the minimum earnable salary for healthcare is 1,000. So that hasn't changed yet. So we're obviously not there. I think it might be prudent of us to kind of try to stay ahead of the curve a little bit so that we don't end up, you know, obviously we have to stay ahead of it because we can't make a change that same year. And I would just guess, and I think, you know, others would too, that this is going to continue to go up the minimum threshold. So I'm going to ask Steve to kind of draft a blank ordinance for the increase of salaries. I think maybe ponder it a little bit, and we can discuss it beginning of next month. Well, so I think we have a couple options. We can go ahead and, you know, bump up another 100 where, you know, you're at 800 and 900, and then the question goes, well, if you're that close to the
be in a different tax bracket
or healthcare, does it make sense to just make that leap now so that we're at the minimum healthcare threshold? So I think that we're getting close enough to that amount that I don't think it's exorbitant by any stretch if we were to consider going up above that, you know, $1,000 threshold, where maybe it's $1,000 and $1,100 kind of thing. But maybe ponder it for the next, you know, till the next meeting, and we can kind of go from there and have a discussion and see what we want to do.
It would have to be in place for 2018, right?
Yes,
January.
But the way that you
any time.
You can make it retroactive though for 17, right?
No.
Oh, you can't. Oh, okay.
No.
And it would have to be
one of the things that the charter vision requires that you have a public hearing. The ordinance has to be The ordinance has to be passed 30 days before the filing deadline. So that means it has to be passed by the first week in July. 30 days ahead, which means effectively the June council meetings. And if you program back from there, there's a 60-day notice requirement for public hearing. So that brings you back to April. So if you talk about it in March and introduce it in April and set the public hearing.
Or even maybe the...
Why is there a 60-day notice for that?
Because the charter tells us so.
Charter tells
maybe
me so.
Discuss it next, you know, at the first meeting next month, and then maybe at the second meeting we can introduce it as well, just so we're not right on that
right.
threshold. So,
is there any other anybody else doing similar things? Do we have any comparables? Shall we say? I mean,
they're all over the map.
They?
Okay.
Yeah, everything. It's just every.
Cleveland.
Yeah.
The Hunting Valley, the high and the low.
Everybody moved along.
You look at here and Beechwood are completely different. I mean, it's
Beechwood's higher.
Beechwood's substantially higher. You know, I think we're still pretty low, and I'm not doing this. You know, I'm not bringing this up just so we can make more money, because that's not make a lot of money doing this. That's not what it's for. But you know, we at least should get service credits, and then I think that we should stay ahead of the curve, and I think
so
it's time that we
so that you're where the the other elected official's salary that's governed by this is the mayor's.
Governed by?
The charter requirement of this process. So if you were inclined to make a change in the mayor's salary, now would be the time through this process.
So,
I think it's sensible.
You're not making
I think that's something that we should kind of ponder, and we'll discuss next month. All right. Any
have another meeting?
Any other comments for tonight? Oh, yes.
The next meeting, the March
1st. Okay, so Mrs. Perry's salary is going down. And
she's getting docked.
All right. With that, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Thank you. Second?
Second.
Would you call roll, please?
Barron?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes.
Pine?
Yes.
Braverman?
Yes.
Just, you can, Braverman wants to stay.
Hirsch?
Does Nordstrom?
Yeah, 5 minutes or
me? Oh, yes.
Get the Nordstrom.